Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, the only Son from heaven, our blessed Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel lesson. Let us pray. Lord, ever open our ears and open our hearts that we would believe by the power of your Spirit, that we would follow you like Andrew and John and Peter. Bless now the preaching, the teaching, the hearing of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you could ask Jesus any question that you want to ask, what would you ask of Jesus? Well, in a survey done, by far, number one, people would love to ask Jesus, why is there so much suffering on the earth? Why so much evil? Why suffering, pain in my life? Why don't you just take it all away? Why do you allow so much pain and evil? Good question. Another question at the top of the list was, are you really the Son of God? Another one, are you really the only way to heaven? And is there really a heaven and a hell? All good questions. In our gospel lesson today, we have the first question that is asked of Jesus in John's gospel. A very important question, a question we ask even now. And that is the question of Andrew and John, who are beginning to follow Jesus by the words of John the Baptist, that he's the Lamb of God. And Andrew and John, the apostle, ask Jesus, where are you staying? Where are you going to live, Jesus, in other words? Where are you going to make home? That we might be with you because you're the Son of God. But where are you staying? Or are you going to stay at all? You're going to cut and run real quick and just run off. Where's your home? Where will you stay? And the rest of John's gospel, and really the rest of the New Testament, as we look at the life of Jesus, teaches us where he stays. And we learn that when the Son of God comes to earth, this is God himself, the Almighty God has come to earth, he doesn't stay out there. Nor does he just stay up there, far from us. But he stays where? Right here. With sinful people. And he wants to be with us and stay with us forever in his heavenly home. First of all, we learn the grace of our God. Where are you staying? He doesn't stay out there because he's so pure, he's so holy, he doesn't want to mix with us sinful, rebellious people. He doesn't want to taint his image. He doesn't want to hurt his reputation. I'll remain pure and holy out there. I don't want to hang around you people. You'll ruin my reputation. That's not Jesus. Praise be to Jesus, he's not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that day. I'm sure a lot of people in that day thought the Messiah would come and he would be like a Pharisee or a Sadducee. Be pure and holy, at least on the outside. Pure and holy and stay away from all the unclean people. He would stay out there somewhere, kind of unapproachable, but very clean and pure. If that is Jesus, he can't help me. He can't save me. He's just out there as some example that I can never, ever follow because I'm not as pure and holy as he is. You know, over the last year or so, every once in a while, it bugs me when I drive here, there's always seems to be a mattress or two here in our property. And I'm sure Al Colbert's seen the same thing. Who is dumping mattresses at First Lutheran? And Ann and I drive over, and there seems to always be a mattress. None of you dumped that mattress, did you? Come and confess if you did. But over here, there's a mattress, and now there was one over here, and who's dumping mattresses? And Ann says, well, quit complaining and pick it up. And I'm like, honey, I don't have a truck. And if I had a truck, where's Ron Tumeyer? You go get that mattress, Ron, you got a truck. And I say, even if I had a truck, I don't want to pick up a mattress that might have bed bugs and germs and disease. I don't want to touch that. Let somebody else do it. Well, it's okay not to want to mess with a dirty mattress. But if God doesn't mess with us dirty, miserable sinners, we're in trouble. We're stuck. We're doomed. God doesn't stay out there away as a Pharisee to remain clean and pure and not be around sinful people. Nor does our Lord come and stay up there where he just kind of rules over us and points the finger down at us and condemns us and judges us and maybe laughs at us and just kind of uses us according to his will as his little pawns and servants. I'm sure in Jesus' day, they thought the Messiah would come and be a new Moses. This was popular thought. He'd be a new Moses. And what did Moses do? Moses gave the law. Moses gave the law from on high, Mount Sinai. And through Moses, God destroyed all the enemies. Through Moses, God destroyed Egypt with the 10 plagues and the Red Sea. Then they got to the Promised Land, and again, by the power not of Moses, but then Joshua and so forth, they destroyed the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Midianites and the Moabites and the Edomites, the God on high who judges and punishes. And that's not Jesus. He doesn't come to judge and punish all the evildoers. He comes to be the humble servant. Shocking. He stays with sinners and says he forgives sinners and heal sinners. There's also the common belief that the Messiah would be like a new David, a new Solomon. David and Solomon were great kings, but they lived in a palace, far up in a palace, away from the people. Rich, popular, powerful, but away. Kind of like the White House, away. We can't really get in much, can we? That would be the Messiah. He'd be away, king, powerful, but we can't really approach him. It means he's above us, to look down on us. Again, that's not Jesus. I read something interesting. You know how we have the term the upper crust for people that are elitists, that are rich and powerful, they're the upper crust of society? You know where that came from? I read this. In the old days, they used to make a loaf of bread, and of course, they wouldn't slice it like we have in our grocery stores, but everybody, if they had loaves of bread, would just pick off a piece. And so you pick off a piece, I give it to you, John, you pick a piece off, and Greg, you pick a piece, and you kids pick a piece of bread off. But of course, many of the rich and powerful do not want to touch bread that other people have touched. I don't want to eat bread with them, and bread they've touched, ooh! And so often the bakers would slice off the upper crust of the bread and give it to the rich and powerful. They'd have their own meal. Praise be to our God, who's not of the upper crust. He is the meal. He is the bread of life, not the upper crust of life. Only the rich and powerful get me. Ha, ha, ha. He is the bread of life, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, doesn't he? He feeds us himself today. He is our bread and eats with sinners. No, this Jesus, where are you staying, Jesus, they ask. Where are you going to live? Where are you going to dwell? Not out there, a Pharisee. Not up there, just some powerful king. But where does he stay? Right here with his church. Right here with poor, miserable, suffering sinners. He's right here in water, right here in bread and wine, right here in the Word, right here with us, and he'll leave with us too. He's right here with us, not away, to forgive us, renew us, strengthen us, and give us peace. You know, you look at Jesus' life, and he doesn't ever have a house he really lives in. He just travels around. He doesn't have a palace he lives in. He doesn't have a cave out there he lives in. Jesus is always traveling. In Galilee, village to village to village, traveling. He goes to Samaria a little bit, traveling even in Samaria a little bit. But they try to kick him out, of course. He goes to the Gentiles a little bit, the Decapolis across from the Jordan. He travels around there and heals some people. He goes down to Judea and Jerusalem there also. He's always moving around, traveling. But this one thing is constant. He's always with sinful people. He goes where the sinners are. You find him with shepherds in his birth. And you find him with tax collectors like Matthew and Zacchaeus. And he calls Andrew and John and Peter today fishermen. He wants to be with sinners. He loves sinners. He wants to help. You find him with the diseased, the demon-possessed. You find him with the dead and their grieving families when he rises them from the dead. That's where you find Jesus. With the poor and the lost and the lowly. He's always with them. He dies between two thieves. And he rises on Easter. And quickly he goes to his miserable disciples who all left him. And he says, peace be with you. I love you. We're going to be together forever now. This is our Jesus. Where is he staying, Jesus? I stay with you. I want to be with you forever. I'll never leave you. Never forsake you. I am your God. John, Jesus' words in John 14, if anyone loves me and obeys me, my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. John 15, remain in me, stay in me, and I will remain in you. And John 6, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, communion, remains in me, and I will remain, I will stay in him. I won't cut and run, I won't leave him or forsake him. I read, saw on TV where they did a study of love. And what state in America has the greatest love, I guess, where they have a less divorce rate and there's romantic love found there and so forth. I don't know how they studied it, but it's the greatest love state. If you want love, go to this state. You know what was the number one state? Mississippi. Mississippi? So you want love, young people? Go to Mississippi if you want to find a spouse, I guess. And right below them was Utah. And Wisconsin was in there. Wisconsin, really? It's cold. Like another minute than to be around the house in the cold weather, I guess. I don't know. Tennessee was not in the top 10. That's okay. I'll tell you where you find the greatest love. It's right here at First Lutheran Church. It's in God's church. Because God is here and God is love. This is the place of God's unending love, unending forgiveness, unending grace and peace. This is the best place, the love of God. And may we take it from here as we receive the love of God and share it with the world. Where are you staying, Jesus? That's the question to ask. He doesn't stay out there. He doesn't stay up there. He stays right here. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Let us rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's sing the offertory, page 192.